Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Valerie Burrell, here with my wonderful husband, Benny. Grateful and thankful to God for another opportunity to come and share a kingdom teaching with our audience. We want to thank you all for your continued support of the Empowerment Place as the Lord continues to build our base and to expand our territory. We are forever grateful. On this evening, Elder Benny will be leading our conversation tonight from Galatians chapter 6. He's got verses 1 through 13, but as I read, 7 through 13 stuck out to me. I'm going to read that for you from the Message Bible, and it reads this way. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests crops of weed. And he'll have to show for his life his weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Now, in these last sentences, I want to emphasize in the bold scrawls of my personal handwriting the immense importance of what I have written to you. These people who are attempting to force the ways of circumcision on you have only one motive. They want an easy way to look good before others, lacking the courage to live by faith that shares Christ's suffering and death. All their talk about the law is gas. They themselves don't keep the law, and they are highly selective in the laws they do observe. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast on their success in recruiting you to their side. That is contemptible. So tonight we're going to talk about don't be misled. Answer the call. Father, we thank you as we go into this time of teaching for your Holy Spirit that we recognize as our chief teacher on tonight. Father, we thank you for what you have placed in the spirit of Elder Benny on tonight, O God, and the words that he will speak to your people. We thank you now for the anointing, to bring forth as led by your Spirit, God. Bless each listener live and those who will call in to hear what it is that your Spirit has to say. Father, we thank you in advance for what you're about to do for us and through us. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and count it done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening, listeners. As we, the word has been read. As I was, studying this particular method, you're just thinking on some of the things that we do, that we say, and so I was just thinking in everything that we do. And all that we hear, all that we see, we must remember that we can't allow ourselves to be misled. And if we're being misled, we're not answering the call. So don't be misled. Answer the call. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. How many times in life do we ourselves allow ourselves to become overtaken by some of the same faults that we sort of point the fingers at others for, even when we're trying to help them. We talk about overcoming, but we don't think about the overtaking. And that's one of the things that touched my heart as we, Galatians, we answer these questions. We get these questions answered. How do we keep ourselves from becoming overtaken and not condemning others for their faults? But also, that's one of the things I love about the empowerment place. The empowerment place and the motto is that we, when we are empowered, we take the responsibility to empower someone else. And that's empowerment. Don't be misled. Answer the call. Answering the call is empowerment. And when I'm saying answering the call, not just answering the call it is answering the call that Jesus would have us to do. But I see all the time, as my wife is a ministerial counselor, Christian counselor, she always answering the call. It's going to be either through a text message, a phone call, could be a knock on the door, a Facebook message. She's always answering the call. And then, of course, you know, you have to be able to discern not to have yourself overtaken by some of the things that people bring to you. You are to lift them up. As she read in the Word, it says, lifting up those who are in the same faith, giving them the strength and that they need to move forward. So being able to answer the call, and don't be misled, we must remember we have to follow, and you heard this term always used, is kingdom principles. But what I like to use is the kingdom of God. We want to look at the kingdom of God and adhere to what the principles of the kingdom of God. The original intent is what I like to say, the original intent of God. Kingdom principles, which kingdom are we talking about when we're talking about that? So we have to be careful, because those questions become, whose kingdom are we answering the call to? And it is going to be the kingdom of God that we are going to be looking at. So it's very important that we learn to keep with the original intent, as I said. And in Genesis 1:28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish, the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth." That's the original intent, and that's what we need to do. Is we need to, every time we, if we're counseling as ministerial persons, counseling people, we have to remember to always go back to the original intent, hold firm, and not allow ourselves to be overtaken, restoring those things that were lost. Giving back, returning to the state. And that brings to some words that I made note of, inoculation, re-inoculation. And here's one that we think about when sometimes a person's blood gets sort of contaminated. Then there has to be a transfusion to bring it back to its original state. Restoring, cleansing. We heard the word deliverance used a lot. But there's got to be a cleansing, a restoring, a transfusion, a inoculation or re-inoculation, a reform. And I like this word, it's a reset. Resetting ourselves back to the original intent of God. So that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about, is just being able to understand where we are headed, and when we're trying to help others and lifting them up, we have to be careful not to allow ourselves sometimes to fall in the traps. We see this a lot in different ministries. I've heard people talk about church hurt. Things, while that person that they were depending on to help them overcome, they became overtaken by the same fault or the things they may have been condemning others for. Instead of lifting people up, they fell into the same thing, and then that's when the church hurt occurred, because they were doing things that was contrary to what God would want them to do. So we always got to remember to look in the mirror and just keep hold to those principles of the kingdom, understanding, studying the word, understanding, asking, God to give us the understanding of what are we really trying to do, what are we, should we be doing, and follow through on that. So again, going back, answering the call, don't be misled, following the word of God. I'm going to turn a little bit over to
Amen. I'm going to go back to verses 11 through 13 in the message. It reads this way. Now, in these last sentences, I want to emphasize in the bold scrawls, and this is Galatians 6, of my personal handwriting, the immense importance of what I have written to you. These people who are attempting to force the way of circumcision on you have only one motive. They want an easy way to look good before others, lacking the courage to live by faith, by a faith that shares Christ's suffering and that thought the law is gas. All their talk about the law is gas. I think about leaders, and because there are many leaders that listen to this broadcast, we have to be careful that we're not just a bag of gas. We have to make sure that we are living ourselves the way Christ intended, that we are living ourselves according to the law, that we are sharing truth in the faith of Christ's suffering and death. It's not enough for us to be, quote unquote, called a leader, but we can't lead by example. And often that's what people are encountering in churches. They have leaders that want to dictate what you can and cannot do. But if you put a microscope, sometimes you don't even have to put a microscope. If you begin to look at their lives, you'll see that what they teach is not what they live. That's often when we as a people are misled, especially for those who are new in Christ. We take for granted that whatever our leaders are telling us, whatever we're hearing from the pulpit, has to be from God. And whatever they tell us that we need to do, it must be from God. And when they tell us we can't do a thing, we stop doing it because it had to have come from God. So because that's what my leader says, and so I listen. But this scripture is saying you have to be careful, as Benny said, you have to have a level of discernment that you're able to know whether, in fact, it is from God, or whether it's an opportunity for them to try to mislead you. I've been in ministry for some years, 20 plus years. It's hard to imagine that for myself, but I have been in this walk, and I can admit that there were times when, as a leader, my life didn't match the law. My life did not match the law. Because I was a living epistle being read of men, my life was not leading people to Christ, but my life actually allowing people to live what they wanted to live and just go to church on Sunday, the same way I was. And it's because I was in a hurt place, and much of the hurt had come from church. Much of the hurt had come from leaders that I respected, that I thought had my best interest at heart, from leaders that I thought understood my kingdom purpose. But all they wanted from me was an opportunity, like this word says, for them to look good, to get me to do work to make them look good. But at the same time, I'm on my way to hell from the church pew. We have to be restored. We have to reconcile our lives back to Christ when we've erred. We have to acknowledge our missteps. Call them mistakes. I call them missteps. Because often we misstep because we're led out of ignorance. We're led out of fear. We're led out of hurt when we're not paying attention to what God is trying to use to get us back in place. What the Holy Spirit is saying to us, to get us to open up and renew our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Instead of that, we're driven by our emotions and we misstep. And so it takes regeneration. I like when he was talking about that inoculation and the transfusion that has to happen when someone has a problem with the blood. Aren't you glad today that the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross cleanses us, hallelujah, cleanses us from every misstep that we've ever taken when we take the responsibility to repent of our sins? And I hear people a lot of times say, I repented of my sins and I made a 360-degree turn. Well, I thought 360 degrees was a circle. And if I'm going to do 360 degrees, I'm going to end up right where I was. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Acknowledge God. Allow him to direct your path. Ask him to fine-tune your discernment so that you're not misled by those who want to use you and manipulate you and take you away from God's original intent, take you away from answering the call on your life given by God's desires. Say, God, help me. That if I'm dealing with somebody who is just talking, their talk is gas, God, move me from that one so that I can sit at the table with someone who is going to give me truth, so I can be fed the living word that's going to bring about change in my life, productivity in my life, so that I can answer the call. God doesn't want us to be used by man. He wants us to be willing to give ourselves. Somewhere I said, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. He wants to use you. He doesn't want us used by anybody else. He doesn't want us used by man. He doesn't want us used by the enemy. But he wants us to embrace who he is, who God is in our life, who his son Jesus is in our life, who the Holy Spirit that dwells within us is in our lives, so that we are not misled and so that we're moving forward in God's purpose to answer the call on our lives. Whew, God. He doesn't want us ignorant, y'all. Verses 7 and 8 said, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. What a person plants, he will harvest. If you've been planting selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, you got to look at the truth behind that. You're ignoring God. And he said, you're not going to make a fool of me. I'm God all by myself. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am God. I know that I have purpose for you. I knew that before I even placed you in your mother's womb, that I had called you to be a prophet to the nations. I know who you are. I don't want you to be misled, but I want you to answer the call. And yes, sometimes answering the call, you feel like you are in a place all by yourself. You feel isolated. You feel abandoned. You feel like you don't fit where you used to fit anymore. And guess what? You probably don't. When you're doing what God wants you to do, people are not going to always want to embrace you. They're not going to always want you to be around. Oh, my, now the microscope is on me. Now they're always looking at what I'm saying and looking at what I'm doing and judging me. You still have to do what God wants you to do. You still have to. You can't be swayed by the emotions of man. You can't be swayed by their opinions. You have to move according to what God has spoken. Oh, we're grateful. We have several callers on the line on tonight. Praise God. If you have a question or a comment, we do welcome you to share with us. You can press 1, and we will bring you live. Amen. Whew. I was moving. I'm sorry, honey. I'll turn it back over to you. Amen.
There's not much more to say after that, but when we look at Galatians 6, 1 through 3, and it explains to us, live creatively, being able to think, being innovative in our thinking, doing what God instructs us to do. And it says, live creatively, friends, if someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing of forgiveness before the day is out, because we all have fallen short. So we have to really be careful how we point the finger. Again, I'm just reminded to just uplift those who we are charged to assist, not pointing fingers, not condemning, but adoring them to God's original intent, helping them to become the person and see the purpose that God has for them. And so it goes back to, what is said in 2 Timothy about us being able to study to show ourselves approved, so that we'll be able to maneuver in the way that God would have us to move by getting the understanding that we need to endure the things that we may see in front of us, so that we can help and uplift others. You have something? So, someone has a question?
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. You have a question or concern or something to share?
Good evening. Good evening. I just have a question. As we talk, we've often talked with regard to iron sharpening iron, but if there's someone in your circle that you're working with or that you are fellowshipping with, a lot of times when you see someone doing something that is totally against what they should be doing, how is it that you can approach without them feeling that you're condemning the work that they're trying to do. Sometimes, you know, people aren't receptive to what others have to say. But as we desire to have a closer relationship with God, and again, we want to help assist those that we can, but is there maybe a way to approach it without condemning? Or if they will take offense regardless, do we just let them continue with what they're doing?
Great question. Two things that came to mind as you shared. If it's someone that's in your circle, someone that is a part of your circle of influence, your community of learning, they should trust your level of discernment, that when you come to them, you go to them in love to share with them. They're not going to want to hear your opinion. They're going to want to hear what God has to say about where they are and what they're doing. So if you can show them in the Word what it is that you're seeing or where they may be misleading people or misleading themselves, they're more apt to receive. There are going to be some people who don't, they just don't want you to tell them that they're wrong. And if you go to them and you give them what you've been tasked to do by Holy Spirit, it's up to them whether they receive it or not. But if God has spoken to your heart to have a conversation with that individual to help them, then you have to obey. And then once you give it to them, what they do with it is up to them. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. So, wow, that's good. We have to make sure, again, as leaders, we're not misleading others, but we're not ourselves being misled either. So we have to come to terms with our own truth. A lot that I've said tonight just takes me back to our book. I'll share my Reality Revealed, a journey of empowerment book that I wrote and released just a few months ago, deals with me living a life where I had been misled for a long time. But then when I took the responsibility to answer the call, and in that I share days, weeks, and months of trials, tribulation, and truth that Holy Spirit gave me to empower me to fulfill my call in the earth and aid others in doing so. So, caller, thank you. Prophet Nina, thank you for the question. And listeners, I encourage you, if you can, go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. The book is entitled My Reality Revealed, A Journey of Empowerment. And this may be the tool you need to help you been misled, if you're misleading, to help you come to terms with your journey with God in fulfilling your purpose and aiding you in answering the call. Babe, you want to pray us out?
Father, we thank you that we were able to prick the ears of those listeners and just give a little bit of a better understanding of answering the call, not being misled. We thank you, and we praise you for the opportunity of the empowerment place, being able to be on the air and empower those listeners. In the name of Jesus, amen.